This is the Live Space Twitch Podcast.
Welcome to this week's Live Space Twitch Podcast. Today I am talking with Mob Lord, and I'm gonna let him introduce himself in a little bit. But I wanna say that we get into some really good stuff here. First of all, we're gonna talk a bit about moderation on Twitch, what that means, how that have changed, and how it might change in the future. We then go into the manager thing, and we should only progress over to it being about professions around Twitch, because they're behind the scene things like, what if you're not a streamer? What if you want to be more than a viewer? What if you want to do X and Y around it? What if you have profession in business, etc.? So it gets to a lot of really cool things. So I think that you will really enjoy this week's episode. So without further ado, let's start the show.
Can you explain who you are? Because I find it bit hard to define you. You said yourself that you have many hats, so maybe it's best if you introduce yourself a little bit.
Well, yeah. Hi, I'm Mob Lord. I do a lot of things around Twitch. You might have seen me in a chat room somewhere, but basically I handle the moderation of about 25 streams. I have done some team management on Twitch for stream teams. I have also worked with Online Performers Group, which is a full-service management agency. And I also am someone who likes to study the theory of Twitch. And so you might even know me from that side of things, attached to some sort of data study or my stream study group, which is studying currently the gender on Twitch issue. So, yeah, I get around.
You said you moderate 25 streams. How is that even possible?
Well, you obviously you can't be present in all of them all the time, but I usually have 3 to 4, you know, chats going pretty much around the clock. I'm not probably the most active of all the mods in each one of the chats, but sometimes just being there as a resource, either for the streamer or for the other mods, if they have questions about bots or something that's kind of developing in a channel or whatever, sometimes just being around is enough at times.
Do you think a moderator needs to be around a lot to be a good moderator?
I think there's different types of moderators. I think when I started out, it was absolutely crucial that I was running all aspects of the chat and that I was very present. And I think that how moderators start out, yes, they definitely need to be present. There's really not any exceptions for that. I think that's the main thing about being a mod, is just being consistently there. I think that's what streamers should look for. But kind of as you move up in the world and you maybe focus on other things, like you're the bot guy or you're the art guy, or you're just someone who's providing resources or connections or whatever else, then they're still technically mods, but you know, maybe they're not in the channel as much or actually actively moderating offensive comments as much directly. So I think it depends on what you mean by mod. And that's, you know, I think that's a really good topic sometime to talk about too, the different types of people you'll see who are attached to a channel who are maybe called mods, but can be other things too.
Yeah, you recently had a blog post on Streamer News, right? Where you kind of run down a short list of different things that you had in mind for names, etc.
Yeah, I try to give them names. Like I think I called one of them Crazy Hammer, like the guy who just enjoys banning a little bit too much. And you know, I have a special place in my heart for those kinds of people that actually just get enjoyment from what they do. Obviously, you know, it's great when people can find what they enjoy in life. And there's some people who just really enjoy being the moderator. Now, obviously, it can go too far and then get power hungry and their egos can get involved and whatever else. But, you know, properly controlled, there's kind of a time and place for all different sorts of people.
But do you think that the mod badge kind of has lost its meaning in all of this?
Well, I think it's not, you know, it's weird to throw them all in the same category, because I know mods who are basically as important to the channel as the streamer, almost, you know, that if I deal with a channel, I'm talking to their mod before I'm talking to them, because their mod probably has a better idea of what's going on or what games are coming out next for the channel or what the bot setup is going to be or anything else. There's channels who are very important, and then there's other mods who are just basically honorary mods, right? And maybe they're another streamer or something, and the person in the channel just wants them to be more visible. And so, yeah, I think the meaning of what a mod is isn't really determined just by the icon. So, yeah, I think it's lost a little bit. That's just because we don't have, you know, we don't have any other badges or tags or anything to give anybody. Like, if there was a VIP tag in a channel, I think the number of mods would go down by like 50% because, you know, they would just, the streamer would just be applying the VIP tags to various people and not actually making them a full-blown sword. So, yeah, I think it has gotten lost a little bit.
Do you think that's a bad thing?
I think it's something that it's been suggested a lot to Twitch. I know that a lot of people have suggested more icon types to Twitch, and I know Twitch is listened to those, but I don't think they've ever announced that anything different is coming. So, is it a bad thing? No, I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. It's just something that people need to know, that not everyone with a mod sword is at the same importance level. There's usually the main mod, and I think in most channels, someone has risen to the top as kind of top dog of that channel to be the one that straightens out issues with other mods or whatever else. And I wish there was a different icon, but just knowing that you know is in place is important for people, I think.
We kind of rushed ahead here, kind of really get into it, but so I want to kind of start over a little bit, not too much. Of course, we still stay on the topic of moderation, but let's look at it from a streamer perspective. Like, where can someone find a mod, or where should someone look for a mod?
Well, you know, I think this is an excellent starting point, because I think streamers need to realize that when they've made a mod, They're making someone who's kind of going to act as a bit of a representative of themselves in the chat room and potentially even in other channels. And so that's why I think it's very dangerous to hand out mod swords too easily or too early or too freely. There's a lot of negative things that can happen with too many mods, more than not enough mods. So for the smaller streams, obviously they don't need much in the way of moderators. They could probably get by with, you know, one or two, and as long as they were going to be there often. So that's the thing that they should be looking for first, is how regular someone is to the channel. Like, are they always visible, you know, pretty much every time you go live? Are they helpful to other people? Like, do they answer questions? You know, to try to help the streamer out, they just pop, you know, pipe up and answer questions. Do they seem mature? Are they respectful? Have you ever had to warn them? Have you ever had to time them out? Have you ever seen them in another channel where they weren't as nice as they were in your channel? I think all of those questions are things that streamers should be thinking about, you know, for their early mods. I think a lot of people have tried to go out and they know of good mods in other channels, and they'll just, you know, try to tell them privately, hey, I made you a moderator in my channel too, so you should come to my channel and mod for me. And I think that that's, you know, we call it proselytizing or whatever. I think that's a no good. You should never try to recruit mods outside of your own channel. And yeah, another word of wisdom I would possibly have about that is sometimes streamers just mod their friends, and by friends I mean just people that they know in real life that they know that they can kind of force to come into their channel and watch, you know, if they need the help. And you know, sometimes that's the only option that you have, but I've seen it work out really badly a few times where people's real life friends think that they have extra permission to kind of run over the streamer a bit and disrespect them, or, you know, act maybe inappropriately as a mod because they're not used to, you know, being mods before. They were just kind of thrown into it. So I think that's something to avoid as well. Watch out for that. And at the end of the day, the streamer needs to make everyone realize that they are still the commander of their channel, and not let anybody run roughshod over you.
You said that you should never recruit outside of a community. Do you think there's ever a point where you maybe should try to find someone outside?
So for moderating, probably not a good idea. Yeah, it's probably not a good idea to recruit outside your community for moderators. Now, if you're looking for someone who to just give you some advice, that can be a little bit different, because I've had people send me private messages or whatever while they knew kind of who I was, and they just wanted some advice about, hey, what am I doing wrong on my channel? I keep having this and this and this happening, and it's always a bad deal. And how do I prevent the spam? And how do I get rid of this, this, and this? They kind of come to me outside their channel to ask for some free advice, and I usually give that. I mean, best I can. I don't think there's any problem with that, but I'm not going to volunteer to come be their permanent moderator just from that. So.
So the reason we ask that question is because now you're talking about moderation as in someone who is in the channel and banning and all those stuff, but you just said that moderation is more than just that. So, and I guess you kind of hinted at that when it's not about just moderation, when it's about advice, when it's about design, all of these other positions, I'm doing in quotation marks, when should you mean? Again, this kind of comes back to that question we had before about have the mod badge kind of lost its meaning.
Yeah.
And personally, I think that's a problem because I mean, right now you're talking about it as if this thing, but it can be this thing and it can be that thing and so on. So I think that Twitch it's in Twitch's hand, as you say. They need to do something to make that better because right now there is no way to like show that someone is special in a way in a channel. But yeah, that's why I wanted to hear your opinion on it because I feel that moderator thing is kind of lost in words sometimes.
And I think it's really changed too over the past couple of years, as channels have grown and as kind of people have gotten some experience, as people have kind of built up communities, from the chat side of it, not necessarily as a streamer. I think that we're dealing with new kinds of situations now, because a few years ago, maybe you didn't have people who were this active in communities without actually being a streamer, stuff like that. So I think this is a more recent issue, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's just a natural evolution where you have new layers of community. I guess I'd say it that way. You have a depth of community that's beyond just that of a streamer and then the mod, and that's like your only two levels.
What does it take to be a moderator in the classic sense then? Is this specific qualities that someone would have, that would need to have?
Yeah, at the basic level, you need to be mature, responsible. You need to be present. You need to probably be able to speak up a little bit. I mean, there are some silent type mods, but typically speaking, you need at least a few mods in the channel who are willing to greet people, who are willing to shout people out, who start to learn things about their regular viewers, to kind of build up that sense of, this is a family. This is a group effort. It's not just the streamer and an audience. We are the community. We are a group. And you need mods who can kind of understand that and who are not just there to only block offensive comments. So, yeah, I guess the traditional or standard way of looking at it is you mod people just so that they can time people out. But I think that that's a really short-sighted way to view moderators. It's not something that you need long term. Long term, you need various skill sets. So you need people who are good at things that you're not necessarily good at as a streamer. So long term, you're looking for people who can join a team who's all got a common goal, basically.
Okay, it makes sense. I mean, I think that someone I talked to a bit back, Scotticus, he said something that I found was really interesting. He said when I talked to him about moving beyond a certain number of viewers or followers, etc., and he said, well, if I forget someone's name, it's kind of up to the moderators to pick up my slack sometimes, which is, I think, is It's true. When you talk about community, you know, when you are part of that family, like the really tight-knit family, you take up certain responsibilities, and as you said, you represent the streamer. So I think there's a lot of truth in what you say about, you know, what it takes to be a mod. It's more than just being a moderator, in a sense.
Yeah, and I would also encourage just other moderators out there to kind of, if they don't have some pre-existing skills, to kind of, you know, pick up on some ones that are helpful for channels. You know, it can be a lot of different things. Sometimes just being a steady, organized person who enjoys, you know, setting up someone's schedule, like a streamer schedule, or you know, if you just have some sort of qualities that can fill in for areas where streamers are weak, then you become a lot more useful to people. And the more useful you become, the more people will recommend you, and the further you'll get with that side of things. So if you're a mod out there, you know, learn how all of the bots work. Go read some documentation. If you're looking for a feature that a bot doesn't have that you want, you know, look into what it would take to create that. You know, group up with other people and create something that's needed. If you see the need and you're able to fill the need, you should, basically.
Do you think there's any specific skills you can learn from being a moderator?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I've had to learn some things or relearn some things just about how to be discreet, how to be supportive of streamers when they go through hard times, you know, how to hype something, how to, you know, promote something in such a way that you're drawing positive, you know, attention to something, a project or a special feature. You know, there's so many different things that you could learn as a mod. I don't think I could probably cover them all, but I think, you know, you learn a lot of stuff on the job. This is a little bit of apprentice training, I think, sometimes for moderators. And honestly, I think it's probably a good path for people who are wanting to be a streamer eventually, possibly, is to really learn the moderation side of things first before they're a streamer. And that does several things. That gives them a lot of skills, that lets them see what works and what doesn't on someone else, so they don't have to experience the failures themselves. That gives them a name recognition aspect. Many mods are somewhat well known, and that might be some of their viewers when they eventually decide to start streaming. So yeah, I think even for streamers, I think you work your way up through mod first, and you'll learn a lot. And it might suit you better.
So, would you say that moderation is a good way of networking?
It can be if you do it right. I mean, there's obviously mods who never go anywhere on Twitch except for the channel that they're a moderator in, and then some of them don't have the time to. Like they don't have, like they have 4 hours that they're willing to spend on Twitch every day, and it just so happens that their streamer is streaming all 4 of those hours, right? And so they might not do a lot of, you know, cross-channel stuff, but for a lot of streamers, yeah. I mean, for a lot of moderators, yes, it can be a good networking thing where they can learn to meet other people, especially if they start going to conventions and stuff. The real world is, you know, a very important networking thing because moderators don't have faces. Like, you know what I mean? They're kind of like the theory that streamers don't have legs. Because you never see them. It's the same thing with moderators. Moderators don't have faces. They're known in channels, but you know they're not real people. They're bots. So going to conventions can kind of like, oh, hey, moderators are cool people too, and some of them are just as fun to hang out with as streamers. And you know, hey, you should come check out so and so. And you know, they can start to build up their networking in real life conventions. I think it's been some of the best experiences for me to meet some of these people who you'd never see. In real life, and I always have fun with that.
Yeah, I know a couple of streamers that have come from moderation side, and as you say, they have a following directly come out of that because people just know their name, and they kind of get cross promoted sometimes by the streamer that they are by the streamers that they are moderating for. So that's always a good thing as well. But I to switch topics a little bit here, and it's one of those questions that keeps on coming up over and over again. Should certain moderators be paid?
You know, that's the question, isn't it? It's I'm of the opinion that not all moderators are worth being paid. I think you have to kind of go above and beyond just simple chat room, you know, enforcement to warrant yourself as someone who deserves being paid. Which a lot of moderators do. But it starts to get a little bit tricky too, because I think, you know, it almost would be insulting to pay some people the amount of money that the streamer could probably afford to pay them for how much work that those people are actually doing. And, like, I don't know if you could really pay some of these mods their worth. Like, they're doing so many things that if you're looking at like an hourly rate, you're not really even going to be able to pay them what they're worth. Mm-hmm. So, they're doing it because they love you anyways, not necessarily for the money. And if people start doing it strictly for the money, then I think it creates other dynamic where you have, you know, some competition between the stream or the moderators, like, how much are you getting paid? Well, how much are you getting paid? I'm here because I love doing it. Why are you here? I think it can get kind of tricky. I think, you know, the only time that people should be paid, in my opinion, are if they've been there for a very long time to prove that they're not just doing it for the money or the glory. And if they're doing more than simple chat enforcement, then I think you could, and if it's a larger channel that could afford to pay them, obviously, then I think you could say, yeah, it's okay that you pay your mods. But I think, you know, the pressure is on like mid-sized streamers who can't afford to pay anyone, that, you know, sometimes they'll feel bad that they're not doing enough for their moderators in that regard. And I would tell those streamers, look, you know, they're doing it because they love you. Your time spent with you is probably more important to them than money anyways. So just have a night where you play games with your mods and, you know, have some like personal one-on-one time with them. And they'll probably take that as a whole lot more than your money could be for what you could afford to even pay them. So it depends, I guess, basically. There are some cases where it makes sense, especially if they're acting as like community managers, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, payment in general from streamers to the people that are around them is how to put this. I mean, it's not something that a lot of people talk about. I mean, obviously I get paid. obviously there are a lot of designers that get paid. But I think that people, as you say, don't get the money that they kind of deserve sometimes. I think that might change eventually. I think there have been a lot of channels that are changing in that aspect, that are paying the right amount. I think I'm getting paid the right amount. I think that as we move forward with Twitch and as Twitch grows, so will the infrastructure around it. Now, I don't know enough about moderation to say if that's a good thing or if that's a bad thing around that. So what do you think? Do you think that's a good or a bad thing if that would happen?
Well, I think it's an excellent thing if it would be more widespread, because it shows that there is some health and some depth to these channels, that if they can afford to hire people to do various tasks for the channel, then it becomes more like a business, and it becomes more like this, you know, long-term scalable thing where, you know, if you need to do something, you have the funds to be able to do that for the channel. I think that's great. I think it's scary because there isn't, you know, precedent for it. So I think, you know, people are going to have to learn some business rules around how this works. And I think that something that I would encourage streamers to do, if they haven't already, is, you know, start to form, if you're going to be operating a business with employees, you know, you need to create the LLC, you need to probably set up contracts, and you need to set up understanding, and you need to be able to, you know, put in writing what happens when someone is terminated from a channel, and that kind of thing. Because once you get to the point where you're paying people, then it becomes serious, and you need to treat it seriously. Because if you don't treat it like a business and you just let stuff lax and you only have verbal understandings with everybody, it's going to bite you. So that would be my only concern, I guess.
So if we roll back a little bit to what we talked about earlier with the different definitions of the definitions of a moderator, do you think that there's up to the streamers and leaders within the industry to actually change the meaning of these words back to what they maybe should be? You know, stop calling them moderators. Yes, moderators. There are moderators, but there's different definition of them. As you said, do you think there should be more clear things? But I don't think that a lot of streamers actually do tell the community that there are differences. They just need some moderators. Again, I think the streamers know that there are differences there, but I don't think they don't communicate it to the rest of the community all the time. Do you think that's something that should start to change as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, you should be accurate in the way you describe people, and I think that it's probably good if we start adopting some language that's used outside of Twitch. You know, if you start reflecting the Hollywood structure where you start, you know, because there's some very well-defined terms out there. If you say, you know, business manager, you say community organizer, you say, you know, graphic designer, you say some of these terms, there's really established meanings of what these are out in the professional world. And if we could start using those on Twitch, I think it would help people to understand how person A is different than person B. And I think that would clear up some confusion that people have.
And I'm asking because I kind of feel as if, again, as Twitch grows, these positions are going to be great to have on your CV or on your resume, and things like that. I don't know if that's something you have put any thought behind.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, right now I'm not using anything that I'm doing from Twitch necessarily on my resume, but I think that's sometimes just because I have blurred a few different categories for things. But I do think that in general, yes, it's definitely something that you could build experience towards, that you could put on a resume, especially if it was a paid position. But don't like oversell it like too much on your resume. Like if you're just the mod that you show up every once in a while, you could probably throw in a bunch of terms on there to really oversell what you're doing. You know, so don't be that guy. But in general, yes, I agree with you.
Cool. I'm kind of asking because I want to transition a little bit here in topics to another thing that you do, which is the manager part. Do you think there's a way to kind of transition from being a moderator into a more of a profession, say a manager or a person assistant or along those lines?
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting question. Obviously, not everybody will transition into it, but I think that if you did work your way up from the bottom into management, I think you will learn a lot more than if you just had some sort of job in the business world as a traditional manager and try to just jump into Twitch and start managing right away, you know, without the Twitch culture, because Twitch is unlike anywhere else on the internet, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's, you know, it shares a little bit with YouTube, but if you had massive YouTube experience and then try to jump into the same kind of management stuff that worked there on Twitch, it wouldn't really work out. There's a lot of cultural things, a lot of unwritten rules. There's a lot of, you know, structure that you would totally miss if you try to do that. I think it's better to work your way up from the bottom on Twitch, and I think you'll be more respected in the community because of it. Because I think Twitch, you know, being some of that family or community idea, I think Twitch is somewhat resistant to outside forces. Like if you were from the PR world or something like that, I think Twitch might be naturally suspicious of you at first, because, you know, how do we know you have our best interest at heart? You know, where'd you start from? And so I have a business degree, but I started out as a very, you know, low-level manager. Basically, I attached myself to one channel, and I was probably her like 30th follower. Like she was tiny, but I stuck with one channel and helped build that one channel up where it was getting, you know, 300 concurrent viewers over a period of like 6 months, and partnered and put on a team, and, you know, I kind of laid out a timelines and I laid out schedules and I laid out all of the organizing management factors for one person first, and you know, got to see firsthand what worked and what didn't work, and basically was that one person's channel manager from very early on, to recruit other mods and to get artwork and to set up everything and to be the giveaway guy in the channel and everything else. I was running many aspects of one channel for a long period of time and got that channel successful. And I think it's from that as like a starting spot. And, you know, with all of those experiences learned, then you can go on to a second channel and help that person, you know, be built up and eventually work your way up to trying to do that for a team of people. And I think that was really, really the best organic way to do it. I don't think if I had just jumped into a channel that was massive, you know, right off the bat and tried to throw my business, you know, degree stuff around, I think it would have failed terribly. It's not organic, basically. I think working from the bottom is the smartest way that people would have. And it, you know, I think no matter who you are, I think learning by experience on the job and growing up with it, I think is the best way to do it.
You kind of explained kind of what you did as a manager there, but are there more? Do you think there's more to it than just that? I guess it kind of depends on what the streamer want as well, but have you heard different things like, oh, this person did this and that, etc.?
Yeah. I mean, there have been other people who've taken a similar progression as myself where they, you know, they stood out in a channel early on, and that as the streamer grew, they kind of brought the moderator up with them and promoted them, you know, repeatedly into more and more responsibilities. I think that I have heard that story probably more than any other story on Twitch where, you know, typically you have the reputation of the manager growing as the channels that they're working with grows. I think that that's probably the most common story, but there, you know, there've been other cases. There's a few people that I know of right now who are trying to transition over from the finance world into Twitch management who don't have any moderator experience, who are trying to jump straight into the management side without having done the moderator side. And I don't think it's going as well for them as it is for the people who started out as managers. I think it can be done, but I think it's hard.
Why do you think that it's? Why do you think it's like that? Do you think it's based just solely around the community? You know, business Twitch is so community driven.
Yeah, I think that's the probably the biggest thing, right? If you don't understand the community, if you aren't part of the community, and you're trying to just push the business side only, I think people will view you as probably a little bit heartless or cold or you know, maybe out of touch even for what Twitch is all about. And I really think that you need to learn how this community works if you're going to be a good manager. You need to understand the etiquette that's common between streamers and between streamers and publishers and game developers and things like that. If you didn't come from an environment where, you know, the community was the biggest push, then I think you're going to have a really hard time as a manager.
Do you think there's a difference between understanding the, like, in general, understanding the Twitch community or understanding a streamer-specific community?
Well, every channel is a little bit different. I mean, there's a lot that carries between channels, but there's also things that are very specific to a channel. But if you're going to be a manager in any capacity, you need to understand how Twitch and the larger version of Twitch. I think you need to understand a little bit more about how that works. I think you need to understand the culture that Twitch has tried to promote. I think you need to understand, you know, the hierarchy of the where each channels are in comparison to other channels. I think you need to understand some of the politics, and I think you need to kind of know some of that stuff before you can be an effective manager. So I think that you need to be familiar with more than just one channel, basically.
So the other side of this is kind of, does that kind of hinder growth in a way? For instance, I mean, it's always nice to have a different perspective on things. In business, we kind of like having that in many ways. But do you think that that kind of hinders the Twitch channels and Twitch in general to grow if we need that kind of have that understanding of Twitch before you can work around Twitch thing going on?
Well, I think obviously, you know, sometimes ignorance is bliss. And if you aren't aware of what else is going on in Twitch and you're just doing your own thing and it's working for you, then great. I think it's better if you observe what's working and not working on other people before you do it yourself sometimes, I think is even better. But it's an interesting question. Are you basically saying, you know, maybe it's better that some people haven't learned what else is going on so that they're not encumbered by it? Is that what you're hinting at?
That's what I'm hinting at.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what I'm saying is the truth in any way, but I'm saying that there's something to it, right? When you have that, you need to learn this before you can do this.
Mm.
It creates a gap. Someone who comes from outside has to learn all of this before they can do something, which might be a good thing.
I don't know that they have to. I think that you'll get farther if you do. Obviously, you can't start out knowing all of these things. Sometimes you just have to start with the things that you do know that you are able to do. But I think if you're looking at it from a, you know, perspective of personal growth, I think if you're going to try to be a manager for somebody, you need to learn more about how everything works in general, not just on one specific channel. So I think it's a matter of, you know, can you do without it? Yes, probably. Long term, if you want to be successful in other channels too, you probably better study a little bit.
At what point do you think a streamer would need a manager?
Let's see, that's a really good question. And I think we did a panel about this. OPG, Online Performers Group, hosted a panel that had Tally and Co Carnage and Eloheim and Shannon Z Killer. And we talked about that exact question, you know, how do you know that you need a manager? And I think kind of what the consensus among everybody who was up there was, you know, you need a manager as a streamer when you get so many different business opportunities and deals that you're not sure what's the wisest choice. But before that, I think that that's really only, you're talking about the top 10% of Twitch that has that as a problem, right? I mean, most streamers don't have so many opportunities that come their way, so many different sponsorships or brand offers or anything else that they need a manager for any of that. So I would say 90% of Twitch is going to be self-managed. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think in many cases, it's so much better for channels to be self-managed, where, you know, them plus their spouse or them plus their significant other or them plus, you know, a trusted moderator. I'm kind of counting that as self-managed as well. It's better to have no manager than a bad manager. And I can't stress that enough, because I think a lot of streamers are just so eager to get a leg up on their competition, because there's a ton of competition out there and they want to stand out, that they're a little bit vulnerable to people who will come alongside them and whisper some, you know, suggestions in their ear and, you know, assure them that they know what they're talking about and lead them down a bad path. And I've heard so many bad management stories that I would tell people to resist management until you're at a point where you actually need management, which is when you're at a size that you're getting so many business deals that, you know, it would make more sense to have a manager than not have a manager. So I know that it's probably bad business sense for me to tell you not to choose us, Online Performance Group, but in all seriousness, don't come to us until you are actually ready, because something like we're set up is not for everybody, and it shouldn't be for everybody. And there's nothing wrong with being a self-managed channel. And there is an article that I'm thinking up and writing some that's going to be featured next on Streamer News. It'll be basically about, okay, so I'm not big enough for a manager. So how do I better self-manage? Like, how do I get access to game codes? How do I get access to good data reporting for my channel? How do I get access to additional sources of funding? How do I get, you know, it's how do you get access to things like the doors that you're assuming that a manager would open for you? You can open yourself as a streamer if you're just aware of what's out there and what the resources are. And I think a lot of people haven't been giving these, you know, pro tips, I guess. Mm-hmm. A lot of people haven't been giving these pro tips for these smaller streamers to realize that, hey, you don't need a manager for that. Like, don't just sign up for a manager because you want access to more game codes. Like, that's a mistake. You can get them yourself, and I'll show you where to get those, right? So I have lots of words of caution against managers because I've seen a lot of bad examples of what can go down if people start listening to managers before they're ready.
Yeah, you kind of hit, you know, the point of this podcast is kind of like to let people see the different options. That's why I've had Game Wisp and I've had Stream Hatchet on, which both do different things, but you know, they help you.
And both of those actually are in my article. Yeah, that's coming out soon. So yeah, both of those are things that streamers can do for themselves that they don't need management for.
Yeah, so that's kind of that is the point of this podcast. Hopefully people can get something out of me doing these interviews. They can hear these different developers' voices and not just read their website or that stuff. So I think the article series is going to be really interesting, and I think everyone out there should, as soon as they come out, start reading them. I'll link them both on my Twitter and on my blog as well, so you get a few more readers as well.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really bothered by the fact that, you know, nobody who's doing what I'm doing is sticking their neck out for this kind of topic right now to say look, there's no magic here. Like, this might seem magical, you know, how we're picking the games to play or how we're getting codes before other people or how we're doing this, or, you know, it might seem like it's magic. It's not magic. It's things that you can do, but you're going to have to work at it. So teaching people some networking, teaching people some, you know, where the resources are, teaching people how to be more marketable. Those are all things that I think that as the community grows, we need to, you know, I feel like I'm responsible. Like, I feel like because I know some of these things, I'm responsible to tell the community how they can better themselves if they work at it, if they're willing to do it. You know, there's options for them.
Yeah, and I'll echo that to say I'm in the same position. My blog is all about that stuff, networking, and it's me putting my voice on the line, right? And I think that's really important, as you say, to not be afraid to put your voice out there sometimes. And I actually don't think it matters how big or small you are. You will have a certain point of view that people might not take like, oh, one-to-one, like, oh, okay, because you did this, I should do the same. No, that's not what it's about. You should listen to what people say and take inspiration from what they say. And I think that's an important aspect of things, because there often been this way of looking at bigger streamers and going, oh, this big streamer did this, therefore I should do the exact same thing to reach the same point. But they are missing the point that worked for that person. It might not work for you. It probably never going to work for you because you are not that person. So
I think that's a really difficult thing to do sometimes. And I've had to do it too. This always kind of breaks my heart a little bit. Because, you know, I'll have people come to me and say, hey, I'm doing this and this, but it's not really working for me. I don't seem to be growing. You know, what's wrong? What's the problem here? And it's a really difficult thing to start to get into that, because it gets really personal, because this is people's livelihood. Like, there's people who have quit their, you know, successful jobs to do what they love. And anytime where you start telling them that they did something wrong or that they're not properly branding themselves or whatever else, that gets really hurtful. And that's something that I've had to do, but I don't enjoy that at all. It's because I feel for these guys. They, you know, they've put their heart and soul into things. And some people take it well, and some people will make some changes and start to learn how to be unique from other channels, and will take some of what I've had to say about branding yourself, you know, and some of that sort of thing, and they'll take it and apply it and use it and get better. But it's such a painful process, and sometimes it's just something I don't even really want to do for people anymore, because it's so hard for me to tell people bad news, basically.
Yeah, it really is. You know, sometimes I get emails from streamers and they want to be clients, and I just know that they won't be a good client, and I have to say no, and it's difficult. It's not because,
well, there's only so much room at the top. I mean, let's back away and be cold and heartless, right? Yeah. The cold and heartless version of this is, not everybody is a natural at this. That's okay. There's probably still something you can do on Twitch. It doesn't have to be streaming even necessarily. And not everybody's going to make it to the front page. Not everybody's going to be lyric. Not everybody's going to pull in, you know, audiences. And you can't be mad at Twitch audiences for that. Like, you can't go into somebody else's channel and be like, well, why is this guy got so many viewers and I don't have, I mean, I'm just as entertaining, I'm better than that person, but yet they're all watching him. What's wrong with everybody? Like, that kind of mindset, I've seen it so many times. It'll just burn you out. It'll make you bitter. It'll make you, it'll cause a compounding effect, actually, because if you've got that mindset already, you're already probably going to take a dip in your energy or your entertainment for your channel. So it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Where you start beating yourself up about all of the things that you're not doing, or all the people who are not there, and you start getting jealous of other channels. And that stuff will just absolutely take you all the rest of the way out of Twitch. Like, it will. You can't do that as a streamer. And I wish I could tell people, you know, I wish I could tell some people, look, you've got something here. You know, I think you could build it up, and that's great. But there's other people I kind of wish I could say, look, have you ever thought about being a moderator? Because this is not going to work for you. And I don't know if I've ever told anybody that face to face, or, you know, one-on-one or anything. But sometimes you feel like maybe you should, because maybe it'd save them months of effort. And you don't mean to be cold and heartless. Like, it's a Simon Cowell situation, right? It's, you hate the guy because he always just is so blunt and tells you right off the bat if it's going to work or not. And crushes people's dreams. But at the same time, he's doing a lot of people a lot of favors, because why would they don't need to keep pursuing it anymore. They could switch to something else. And he saved them a lot of time and energy, and maybe somebody needs to be the bad guy. So that's, you know, that's a side thing, but it's hard, right? It's really hard to tell people that they're not any good at the thing that they love to do.
But I think it's good to get it out there. And I think we both probably should write articles about it. Because both of us, we are not streamers, really. I'm not a streamer. I don't know. Do you stream a lot? Or
I streamed once. And yeah, I wrote about that the other day, where a bunch of the streamers that I've helped out basically all decided amongst themselves that I was going to stream. that was going to happen. Like, they needed to come torment me like I torment all of them. Like, I wrote about that the other day. But I'm not going to be streaming a lot. I come at this usually from, you know, a neutral third-party perspective, where I have some, you know, experience of what works and what doesn't work. Excuse me. But I've not done it myself. So, yeah.
I mean, that is a great point. I mean, we both of us come from a different place. We are not streamers. We are not, maybe not built to be streamers, but we still work around Twitch. We do things around Twitch. So there are obviously things other than streaming around. And as Twitch grows, that will just grow and grow and grow as well. And I think it's a good thing that people know about this, know about our profession, know that there are more to Twitch than just sitting in front of a camera. That's, you know, that's it.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, that's something that I really, really want to stress just extremely loudly for people who might be listening right now, is there is more places to progress from just a viewer to becoming a streamer. Like, there is so much that someone who's good at business can do on Twitch. There's so much. If you're from a tax background, you have no idea how much possibilities there are for you on Twitch, because every streamer that I know of, no matter what size they are, deals with the headache and the terribleness that is taxes. And I mean, I can say that about a lot of different professions. If you have real world skills and you have some leg up in some area of your life, you don't have to be a streamer to be successful or even to make money. I think we've talked about this a little bit. The money is coming to Twitch. If you get set up now, you'll be at a perfect spot later, you know, where you could make this your full-time gig. And so many people, you know, also underestimate the fact that, you know, there's a lot of people who have progressed from global mod to administrator to staff member at Twitch. It can be a valid, I mean, I'm not saying you should necessarily start out with this as a goal, because I think you should do it because you love it, but it can be a valid progression into a job with Twitch, even, to start out from the community. And there's lots of examples of that. So I think people need to hear us say, you don't have to stream to be successful on Twitch, or to be known on Twitch, or to get a job with Twitch, or to make any money on Twitch. I think people really need to hear us say that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that kind of rounds out the show really, really well. So, Moblord, it was great having you on. Do you have anything you want to tell everyone out there, like social media, website, etc.?
Yeah, so not myself personally, but watch for some series of articles coming out on streamernews.tv. Chris, who runs the site, is a good friend of mine. I've been in contact with him almost since he started the site. And he's great. His website is great. You know, he does it all as a public free service for everybody, and everybody should be aware of what he's doing and working on there. Also, my stream study group, which studies gender and equality and toxicity on Twitch, we should be releasing some more data soon about what we've been up to lately and studying. And that's going to kick off a bunch of discussions, I think, with Twitch, and maybe we can even have a follow-up episode where we dig into some of what we discovered there. So, yeah, that's my shout-outs.
No Twitter?
I have a Twitter. Moblord TV is my Twitter. You don't have to follow me, but if you do, I'll try to keep it relevant to Twitch. That's all I'll promise.
Okay, great, man. It was great having you on. Great interview also.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, man.
All right, you too.
Another great podcast this week, and I think so at least. I'm going to talk more to Moblord in the future. We have already decided that's going to be a thing, so that's really cool to know. You should definitely check him out. His article series is going up very soon. I think it's going to start on Wednesday, so tomorrow, if you're listening to Tuesday. If you're listening on Wednesday, it already started. If you're listening to far into the future, well, you can look it up at Streamer News. What else? Well, I'm working on some Christmas gifts right now for a friend of mine. That's going to be cool. I've done a painting, and she doesn't listen to this podcast, so whatever. And then a painting for her birthday. She's actually pretty close to each other. And I'm also making a little card game based on a story based on something that happened this summer with a bike trip. That bike trip is kind of crazy. It started with us trying to biking around in southern Sweden, when all of a sudden, halfway across to where we were going, her knee kind of said no, and we had no way of really getting anywhere, and it was late, and it was pretty much the middle of nowhere, and there was really no one we could call. So we walked, and walked we did. We walked for all night long until like 5 in the morning. And yeah, that was fun. On top of that, I got some hiccups. That's the way you call it in America, I guess. Hiccups. And that hiccup lasted for 24 hours. Yeah, not fun. Anyway, that was the summer event. So I'm making a little card game around that. So that's going to be cool to give to her. Anyway, that's what I'm working on. Well, I'm working on other stuff as well. I'm working with clients, of course. So since this podcast was a lot about not actually streaming, about a lot of other things, I'm going to say maybe not, you know, go out and be the best person you can be. Or go out there and find your place on Twitch. Hey, there's a lot of places to be at. So go do that. And as always, Mondays and Thursdays, there's a blog post. Tuesdays, there's a podcast. And you can always follow me on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Get me on Twitter at Visible Speech. You can listen to more podcasts. I'm guessing you might not be listening on the website. So go to podcast.livespace.se, leave a comment, you know what I'm saying? You can look up more of my services at twitch.livespace.se. And I think that's all of my social thing. Yeah. Okay. You know, gonna go out there. Do Twitch stuff. have a great week. Bye.